This is a covenant treaty that God makes with his people. It is the Old Testament. But there's a lot of stuff we can get out of this. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Deuteronomy, we're going to go from 15. I'm going to start reading from 25. We'll backtrack as we start. But reading from verse 25, it says, after you have had children, and that is why it's so nice to have these children. Pastor Carlos, you can't see him back there, but he's got a little grandchild sitting there, and he's just loving that little boy back there. Got a big old smile on his face, being grandpa, not Pastor Carlos today, Grandpa Carlos today. All righty. So, after you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt. Would you say corrupt with me, please? If you then, they're in the land flowing with milk and honey. If you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call, this is Moses talking, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day. You're making a deal with Dad. You're making a deal with God, and heaven is paying attention to the details of the contract. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess if you corrupt yourself. I would rather that we could redesign God and redesign God's covenant that he would take the corrupt in. That we could just be... Can I get a witness on that? See, what God does is Jesus died on the cross to deliver you out of corruption, to make you stainless, to take you out of darkness into light. And so often, many of us would rather just have God take shade. Can I get a witness on that? It's like, Lord, hey, I'm just in the shade. We've got a loving God, man. He loves the shade. No, what he does is he brings light.
Amen.
And he says, my people will worship me in spirit and truth. My people come out of darkness, live in the light. Amen. This is the deal that I'm going to make. So don't corrupt yourselves. He says, let me find my spot. He says, quickly perish from the land you are crossing it, crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but you will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him. Now, this is underlined in my Bible. You got your Bible out. You might want to grab a pen and underline that. I don't know how you do it. If you got it on your computer, your phone, your Facebook, whatever, if you got it there, do something. Highlight it, underline it, do something so it blinks at you. You will find him when you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, anybody been in distress? Anybody, something's been in distress this week? When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Lord, I thank you that you're a good dad. I thank you, Lord, that you grafted me into your family, Lord. It's a complicated family. There's some branches around that I don't know how they made it in, Lord. I'm glad. Maybe some of those other folks, they don't know how I got in. Lord, I got in by the blood of your Son. I thank you, Lord, that you have delivered me into the light, that you have cleansed me from corruption, and that you guide me and that you direct me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said? A little side note, my wife is not here. She is in Idaho. Her good friend from childhood renewed her vows, I think 20 years or something, and there were some issues going on, and Lisa was instrumental in dealing with some of those issues, so it's a very celebratory event, and she and her sister flew up there. Her sister got her some tickets. They do the Southwest thing, and so she's there. She's coming back tomorrow. Sam, thank you for leading worship for us today. And so as you see, you know, my birthday was, when was my Thursday, right? Yeah, she was gone then too. Anyway, okay, let's just go ahead. You know, I was getting ready for this, thinking about Father's Day, and I was thinking about my dad. And realistically, I was a pretty rotten kid. Anybody relate to that? Got a rotten kid or was a rotten kid? See, it's pretty easy to hit that, you know. I was one or I got one. Well, I was one, and my dad, you know, he would speak, and he would come up to these. Sam, you don't have to mention this to my son. Nobody has to mention this to my son. But he would come up with these motivational, grandiose ideas. And my son sometimes tells me, Dad, you got these great ideas, but I just don't know if I can follow through on them. And so I get a little bit of that from my dad. But my dad would come up with a great plan to bless my mom. I know he wanted to go into, he wanted to become a dealer of these greenhouses. And he's telling me how we could do this, and we could put a greenhouse back there, and we could build it for my mom and bless my mom, just pumping it up. I mean, my dad he could pump things up. And, he also spent a couple years in prison while I was in high school, and there was some tension between us and issues, and oftentimes I got to a point in my life where I just didn't want to deal with his stuff. But he would throw these plans out there to, you know, and usually never, not really bless him, but to do something great and to do something wonderful. And then he would say, you know, I was like, we're going to bless your mom and she'll be so happy. And then he would throw the alternative in there. Or you can do nothing. And I realized one day, I want to do nothing. And I said, I don't think I want to do it, Dad. And he's like, I remember his jaw dropped. And I told my brothers, I had two brothers, I said, you know what? You can take the nothing option. And they're like, no way. I said, yeah, way. Because he talked the same way to all of us, you know? I don't know if my brothers ever took that option. But it became my regular option. And I was poisoning the relationship that I had with my dad. We come to Deuteronomy. We talk about a deal with Dad. Because that's what God is doing. He is putting forth a deal with the Hebrews. A deal with the children of Israel. And God is indeed the perfect dad. He has adopted us into a family, a heavenly family. And he says, here's the deal. I want to take you to heaven. I want to take you home. I will be your God. You will be my people. And I'm going to let you know how my people act. I will make this deal with you, and I want you to act this way, and I'll put a focus on you, and you put a focus on me, and I'll take you home. I'll make you part of my family. Or you can do your own thing. And some of us have chosen to do our own thing. He says, you can go your own way. I'm not going to force you into this deal. I'll give you an out. Anybody know what I'm talking about on that? Oh, yeah, I'll go my... See, it's like I choose to do nothing. And see, we can poison our relationship with our Father. And he says, that's okay. Your focus won't be on me, and my focus will be elsewhere. Half a heart will only get you halfway home. Yeah. Moses, given The Hebrew's a map to get home. It says, don't get lost on the way. Don't become corrupt. That word there is shakath. And it has to do with a self-corruption. Don't corrupt yourselves. Don't destroy yourselves. He said, don't self-destruct on your way home. Don't poison your relationship with Dad. Title of today's message, A Deal with Dad. Amen. Let's take a look. Back to verse 19. And this is not even the beginning of the section. This is four verses in. He opens up with some idolatry stuff. And it says, hey, don't pick up the idols. And then he continues on, verse 19. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. And he says, don't be lured into loss. You can be enticed. You can get off track. And realistically, I have found in my life that it is easy to get off track. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, it opens up in verse 17 with these idols. And I got a picture of this idol, and this is Asherah, and a very popular Canaanite goddess. And you'll notice that she's in a particular position. And I got some pictures of some other goddesses, and they're all in the same position. And there is an attribute that she is magnifying, and she's saying, hey, I want you to worship me. And she will get you off track. Now we look at this and we think, that's pretty stupid. I mean, really? Amen. But he talks about the starry host. And there's a whole lot of people. I mean, you can make some good money doing horoscopes these days. You know, which is an ordering of your life on how the stars are. God says, don't get tied up in that. You say, well, whoa, man. I mean, when I was younger, I used to look at my horoscope every day in the newspaper. Easy to get enticed. Amen? Amen? Just a little side note. You know, I get enticed sometimes by Chinese fortune cookies. But you know what? What I want to do is I want to open two in a row and get the same one. Then I know I can trust them. Never happened. All right, here we go. Don't love what the Lord has created. There is this whole thing about loving Mother Earth. And that, I'll tell you what. You take a look at these things, and you know what? You might think, how stupid is that? But you start looking at this, you go, whoa. And you start looking at that, and there are all kinds of people in our culture that are off track by this stuff. God says, don't get off track. God says, don't get enticed. Don't take your eyes off me. Don't let anything get in the way between me and the deal that I am making with you. Why is it so easy to get enticed? Well, the Bible tells us in Psalm 19:1 that the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen? So you can look at that and you go, whoa, that is awesome. And our culture and our world can stop right there on a display of God. It's halfway home. Don't stop halfway home. Halfway home is still lost. Can I get a witness on that? See, they take the display and then they worship the display rather than the Creator. Come into right relationship with God, you got to keep your eye on the Creator. Don't get lost halfway home. He says you can be enticed, you can be deceived. You can deceive, you can be lured into loss. You get a message, it's okay. God won't mind. He's a loving, merciful. You can just add this in. You know, realistic, your relationship with God is like soup. Add a little this, add a little that, stir it all up, and when you get to the end, God's going to be happy. Kind of like redesigning God in our image. make an idol, carve it up. You can have him do, her do anything you want. It can be enticing. The Moabite women had just enticed the Hebrew men into idolatry, into sexual immorality. They had been lured into loss. Moses says, don't get lost on the way home.
Amen.
Because God has made you for more. He says, verse 20, but as for you, right? He's talking about warnings. He's talking about the idolatry. He's talking about the moon, the stars, the skies. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting. That's an important thing right there. We're going to talk about that. The iron smelting furnace out of Egypt to be the people of his inheritance as you now are. God made them into a nation in Egypt, the iron smelting furnace. Now, you've heard of the Bronze Age, you've heard of the Iron Age. The shift from the Bronze Age to the Iron Age was going on right at this time. And it was not that they just found iron. Bronze is made as an alloy between copper and tin. You put the tin in the copper, it gets very hard. You put tin in iron, it becomes steel. The reason they were just beginning to use iron was because they didn't know how to make a fire hot enough to melt it. And so they were not learning so much about the metal, but learning about the fire to get it hot. And God says, okay, you know we're talking about how hard it is to make this fire hot and how good that iron is when it comes out. That's what I did to you in Egypt. It was a hot fire in Egypt. I made you into something great. In Egypt. Don't get off track. Don't get lost. And he says, I made you into the people of my inheritance that I have created for you, a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. How good is that to move into the inheritance of God? But he says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 16, he says, and the Lord said to Moses, you're going to rest with your fathers. And these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they are entering. The very thing he says don't do, they're going to do. They're going to be enticed, just like they were with the Moabite women. They would be enticed into corruption. They would be enticed into destruction, and it would be self-inflicted. Why? Because they weren't very careful. Don't get lost on the way home. Remember, we're already on the second generation. The first generation died in the wilderness. Because why? They were enticed into corruption. First generation is gone. Second generation going to be gone. You think this is something we might want to be careful about, folks? They say, oh, it's a loving God. Well, let's look and let's learn about this. See, we got a promise that we're pursuing as well. Amen? Colossians, Paul writes to the church in Colossus. He says, verses 23, 24, chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with half your heart at least. No, half your heart gets you halfway home. He says, work of it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. See, our challenge is that we often just mail it in. It's good enough for God. We just make a half-hearted effort. Problem is that we're a half-hearted people. The Bible calls us a double-minded people. I don't know if you caught it, but I caught it last week. There was the story out of Houston of an acrobat falling. It was off this like a rocket ship thing. It was in the circus. Anybody see that? She was being held by her hair. I don't know. I think. How do you think? If you swung around by your hair, you might be wearing that neck brace, just like Mary Jo. I don't know. But she fell into the crowd. Well, that'd be a bummer. Can I get a witness? Oh, here she comes, Dad. Like, did we win the lottery? I don't know. You know, I was like, hey, prize. No, she went. I think she fell in the seats where there's nobody sitting. And I looked at it and all kinds of stuff. But there's one thing that popped out of me. One thing that's pretty evident. They were working with no net. I mean, why she fell, how she fell, she hit the seats. People went running to save her, right? That tells me there was no net. And you know what? Everybody's been to the circus, right? Right? You know what? I don't want to see no net. There's no thrill if there's a net. Oh, yeah, look, there's a net. You know, fall right in the net. I want to go jump on the net. But when there's no net, playing for real. Real deal threat. And the problem in our lives, we all got a net. Your life collapses. Hey, you go on welfare. Get some food stamps. Go live with mom. There's a net. And because there's a net, we can mail it in. We live half-hearted lives because nothing's really on the line. And we think we can live that way with God. Should we keep going? It's like, don't leave me here, Pastor. All right, let's keep going. Here we go. You can lose your inheritance. Wait, this is getting worse. You can't lose your inheritance. Well, I'll let you make up your own mind. It says, the Lord was angry. Now, really? You can take your pen and just cross that angry out and put in happy. Because we can redesign God however we want, right? You can just, we want a God that doesn't get angry. Yeah. We could have the Pastor Bob Bible. Now, I think we'd call it the God Bob Bible. Because I don't want to be the pastor if I'm going to write my own Bible. I want to be the God. And that's the problem. We put ourselves as God. The Lord was angry with me, that's Moses, because of you. You people got me in trouble with God. He solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance. So I lost mine. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan, but you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land. You got to stay in position for the promise. The Hebrews are indeed passing over into their inheritance, that land flowing with milk and honey. Promise is right there. For us, the promise is right there, but it's right there, right across the Jordan. They still had to grab on. They still had to take possession of it. And there are so many people around us today that have the promise of God, and they just leave it laying there. I'll get it tomorrow. You know people like that? I had a fraternity brother. He said, Bob, because I'm all lit by the Lord. This is after we graduated and all that stuff. And he's a Catholic guy. I mean, not that he just was. And you know what? He says to me, he says, isn't the idea to do all you can in your life and then right before you die get saved? And I said, Nick, that's not even close, bud. God wants us to put a focus on Him in our whole life. Can you get saved? Yeah. Right before you die? Yeah. My dad died of asthma. He wasn't saved. You know what he was thinking about right before he died? Breathing. Little exclamation there on that. See, if you got a minister comes and says you want to accept the Lord as your Savior, you're about ready to die, hey, maybe that'd be a great deal. But maybe not. Let me move on. Maybe you'd just be a little bit distracted at that point in your life. Stay in position for the promise. See, Moses doesn't get the opportunity. And he says, it's not my fault. But it might not have been his fault, but it was his problem. He's not going into the inheritance. Amen? Might not be his fault, but it was his problem, his issue. And when it comes right down to it, it was his fault. He did not glorify God before the Israelites, Deuteronomy 32, 51. He chose to do his own thing, to go his own way. God says, you don't get in. Half-hearted gets you halfway home. That's what happened to Moses. He could see the land, but he couldn't get in. Amen? Halfway home, still in the wilderness, folks. It's not where you want to be. B, we need to keep the connection. Be careful. Say that, be careful. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord. Oh, what was that? Don't forget the deal you made with Dad. The Lord your God that he made with you, do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. All right, we can take that out. You know, the Lord our God is a flame in a fireplace, a comfort in a time of need. Lord, when I'm cold, you're a nice warming fire. I come up to the Lord my God, and he warms the cockles of my heart. Oh, I'm hungry, and the Lord is right there, and I can pull out a hot dog, put it on a stick, and cook that hot dog right there. The Lord is my blessing. Gives me light when it's dark. Keeps me warm when it's cold. Cooks my food when I'm hungry. Oh, that it said that, but it doesn't really say that. It says that the Lord your God is a consuming fire. And then, man, if we want to line something out, we could line out that jealous God part. I don't really need a jealous God. I want the loving God. But Moses has the audacity to tell us to be careful. Don't be rewriting this book. He made a deal with you. You got to keep that deal, not make your own deal. You want to make your own deal, it will be with somebody else. You want to make your own deal, God has the opportunity to say, no, I'm not in on that one. This is who I am. You can come into relationship with me. But so many of you want to call me in relationship with you on your own parameters. I am the Lord your God. I am the one who sets the parameters. Amen? Got to keep the connection. And he says, idolatry is a surefire way to break the covenant. We serve a wonderful, kind, and loving God. And he wants everyone to receive the inheritance. Bible says that it is not his will that any should perish, but some will. Moses says, be very careful, don't break this deal. Moses knows he broke it. The whole previous generation broke it. 2.5 million perished in the wilderness. I think he's real on this. Amen? You want to be lost? He'll let you be lost. You want to wander off? He will let you wander off. Wait a minute. God is love. 1 John 4:8. But I have to tell you, God's a jealous God. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 references. God's a jealous God. Not a comforting fire, not a warming fire, not a cooking fire. Consuming fire. Remember the cedar fire? The one that burned up half of Poway and Scripps Ranch and all that stuff? Started in 2003 by Sergio Martinez, a novice hunter and camper who was lost in the mountains up here by someplace, a Ramona. And he decided that he would light a signal fire. He probably thought that was pretty smooth. And he thought he was lighting a fire, put up some smoke, very controllable. Quickly became out of control. Quickly became a consuming fire. Burned 275,000 1,000 acres, the largest fire in California history, burning 2,250 homes, killing 15 people. Moral of the story, don't play with fire. Be careful. Keep the covenant with your Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So let's take a minute for self-examination. You can get sidetracked for eternity, folks. Eternity is a long time. He's saying, don't get enticed. Be careful. He says, after you've had children and grandchildren, this is what I read to you earlier, have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt. So if you got corruption right now, it's a good time to stop it. Amen? If you got some self-destruction going on, let's cut it right down at the bone. He says, if you then become corrupt, make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. So you got some blessings of the Lord, and you come in there and you're figuring out the Lord, and he's got half your heart. Half your heart gets you halfway home. Halfway home. Not in heaven. He says, you will not live there long, but certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord is driving you. And there you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. The very thing that gets you into trouble, I'll give you a bunch way over here. Outside the promise. Not home. Halfway home's not home. God gives them a warning. It's a warning they need. It's a warning they need because they're going to fall into idolatry. They will prostitute themselves to foreign gods. They will shekah. They will corrupt themselves. I had a situation at our house last week. The freezer door left open. Don't you love that? Come out, all your good stuff is not good stuff anymore. What do? Close it right up. Maybe it'll survive. Well, it got all frozen, but there was corruption, destruction, decay, and rot. Because you open up the door, and everything's nice and frozen, but it still smelled like rotted meat. What are you going to do? Yesterday I got a bowl of hot water. I had to like wash out the rotted blood. Julie Camacho's back there looking at me. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a vegan. Yeah, it's not a pretty picture. It's a picture of corruption. And just throw that stuff away and clean out all that dirty old blood. Moses says, don't do that to yourself. Be careful. Stay on track. You can get sidetracked for eternity. Just a piece of rotted meat needs to get thrown away. Did it to ourselves. Left that door open. Had to throw it all away. Moses is saying there's some stuff that you can do that's really going to make God mad. Say, we have a loving God. Yes. We have a jealous God. Lisa is a loving wife. Amen? Well, she's not here for my birthday, Father's Day. But I'll tell you what, if I came home with a new friend, you know, a real person looking like that, acting like that, you know, I don't know how long my loving wife would stay loving. I mean, she might move from the loving wife to the jealous wife right quick. And that's what Moses says happens with the Lord. He says, don't be pulling that crud. Don't be bringing that stuff into my home. He says, that's not how I roll. Halfway home's not home. Better watch out because you can lose your inheritance. He said, my people are going to act like my people. I'll let you know. Don't mix the other stuff in. It's going to get you into trouble. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Deuteronomy 29 to 31. He says, but if from there, this is the good part. Say, hey, I'm glad I didn't leave early. But if from there you seek God, the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and all your soul. Amen? When you are in distress, and all these things have happened to you because you have not been careful, because you have not kept your eyes on God, because you have added some other stuff in, because you have done shakat to yourself, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant your fathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. God is both jealous and merciful. Moses says there's a way back. Most of us are here today because there's a way back. Amen? He says, if in the midst of your punishment you cry out to God, he will hear you. But the cry that you've got cannot just be a half-hearted cry. It has to be a committed cry. It can't be a, God, if you're up there, pay attention to me. You want to know God's real? I have prayed this prayer, people. God, if you're real, I want to know you're real so I can be transformed. I pray that prayer. I said, I pray this week, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to this person. I said, now you got a problem. What's that? I said, God's going to speak to you in a way. Might not mean anything to me, but it's going to mean everything to you. And you're going to be faced with a choice. You're going to put him number one, or are you just going to keep on living the way you're living? Amen. Not just a half-hearted cry. God doesn't jump through hoops. God doesn't do tricks. He says, you cry out with all your heart and all your soul, God will save you, deliver you from your distress, and take you all the way home. There is a recognition that your present position is because of your past disobedience. That your present position is because of your self-corruption and destruction. And there is a realization that your corruption and disobedience has to go. Because so many of us want to come into right relationship with God and keep a little bit of that corruption. And keep a little bit of that disobedience. You're a loving God. No, he's not really paying attention to all that. God just wants you to be genuine. You ever heard that? Doesn't really matter what you believe. You just got to believe something. And that's enough to get you in. Talking to a guy in the parking lot about a week ago, he says, all roads lead the same place. I said, all but one. There's only one that'll get you home. God says it's not going to work with disobedience. It's not going to work with anything less than the pure covenant, the real deal. Half a heart will only get you halfway home. Amen?
Amen.
Sam, you want to come up and play a little guitar for me? So if I brought my friend home, and Lisa started becoming a jealous and angry and bitter wife. And I put my friend away. And I worked as hard as I could. And some of you might have had to do this before. That there has been damage. That you have done damage in a relationship. And if I worked and I put all my heart and all my effort and everything that I had in restoring the relationship with Lisa, perhaps we could reconcile. because there's so much pain and so much destruction. Sometimes there's too much to be healed from. Amen? There's nothing that's too much for God. You might sit here this morning with a heart full of guilt that you have harmed and destroyed, brought about self-destruction and corruption, and you got a rotted death smell on you, and you're thinking, I'm too far gone for God. But Moses says, if you, wherever you're at in that distant land among the nations, in your punishment, in your destruction, if you would cry out to God with all your heart and all your soul, He'll take you home. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're my dad. And Lord, as I had poisoned my relationship with my father and told him I'll do nothing. Lord, I have told you I'll do whatever you want. I thank you that I have a wonderful wife with her friend in Idaho, and we got nothing in between us. And Lord, I thank you that your son died on the cross so that there's nothing between us. And Lord, I thank you for the offer Moses makes that if we cry out to you with all of our heart and all of our soul, that you will rescue us and take us home. And maybe you're here this morning and you've come to the Lord with a half a heart. And you've mixed in some stuff, and this Holy Spirit is here this morning and just guiding you and pointing you and saying, you know, you're halfway and you're playing games and haven't moved anywhere in a little while. You got stuff that's keeping you from moving. And for you to move closer to home, you're going to have to pull some things out of your life. You're going to have to let some things go. And I don't want you to do it begrudgingly. Because my father is angry. And those are not things he just tolerates and says, oh, that's a kind little, cute little disobedient thing that my son is doing. No. He says, I want you to hate that thing as much as I do. I want you to put it as far as the east is from the west. I want to take you home, and that can't come home with us. Don't try to sneak it in. I'll give you the power to leave it behind, but you've got to want it with all your soul and all your heart. And we can go home. Because halfway is nowhere. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you this morning saying, man, you got a mix going on. I love you, child, but it's time to lose the mix and go pure. Leave that stuff behind and we'll go home. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is just speaking right to your heart. It's clear as I'm speaking to you right now, and he's saying, time to lose the mix. Time to grab onto me. Time to come home. Halfway is not enough. No, you love the Lord. He says, you love anything more than me, you're not worthy of me. Time to let some things go this morning. Nobody looking around, you're saying, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Lord. I've been enticed. I've let some things creep in. I thought it was going to be okay, but you're letting me know right now it's not okay. And, Lord, I'm hearing you this morning. I'm not going to try to sneak it in, but I want to come home. Nobody looking around this morning, but the Lord just speaking to your heart as clearly as I'm speaking to you right now, and you're saying, oh, Lord, I hear you. I'm done messing around. I'm done with a half a heart. I give you my whole heart. Give you my whole soul. Take me home, Lord. Take me home. Nobody looking around. That's just you, and you're ready to make that commitment. Just say, Lord, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to give it all my effort. I want to be clean in your sight. I want to come running at you. That you just raise your hand up to heaven and just say, that's me right here, yeah. And they'll say, that's me, that's me. I got a mix and I need to lose my mix. Somebody else would say, that's me this morning.